بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا حفيظ يا محيط يا الله يا حفيظ يا محيط يا الله يا حفيظ يا محيط أما بعد. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He inspires us to share and hear those words which are most beneficial for us at this moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put effect in what we read and what we hear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften our hearts to the truth. May Allah azza wa jalla allow whatever we share and hear to be able to that words to be spread across the globe and become a means of revival across the entire ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove our spiritual diseases and illnesses through the barakah of this gathering and all the other gatherings in the masjid. Allahumma ameen. We were speaking about why we have chosen the book, The Fathers and Sons of Dioband, and the background of our recent pious predecessors, the spiritual as well as the academic heritage that alhamdulillah has been passed down through them to myself and to all who attend any of the programs here. And that it is very important all the time that we keep on connecting ourselves to the connected ones. Keep on looking back and realigning ourselves with the uninterrupted chain of spirituality and knowledge that goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, onwards to Jibreel alayhi salam, onwards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as we are connected, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, this is a hablillah, the hablullah. It is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned regarding the Quran. So when we are connected to this unbreakable rope, no matter how tough the situation may be around us, which is most definitely getting tougher by the night and by the day, Allah azza wa jal will save us, inshallah, as long as we are connected. So we talked about some of the attributes and the qualities that these elders had, and it's not the fact that we just say they're our elders, we love them. No, it's because they were genuinely had qualities that will make you successful. And the purpose of reading these qualities and hearing their stories is to inspire you and I to follow in their footsteps. It's not sufficient to say this was my father, my grandfather, this is my sheikh, etc. Instead, it's important that we follow it. And so with that intention, we are reading, and with that intention, we are listening. So we mentioned just a few virtues, and there's a lot more. I won't go through the entire thing regarding sunnah, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about it. In Mishkat al-Masabih, Miqdam bin Ma'di Karab radiyallahu anhu narrates that Ma'di Karab radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Listen, I have been given the Quran and another thing along with it, just like it, i.e., the sunnah. In our time, a gluttonous one will recline against his cushion and say, 'Take the Quran only. Take its permissible as permissible and its forbidden as forbidden.' Even though whatever the Prophet ﷺ declares forbidden is also forbidden in the Quran." What does it mean? Nabi ﷺ, in their multiple ahkam, let me read another one similar to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "One among you reclines," Irbad ibn Sariyah says, "One amongst you reclines against his cushions and claims that Allah does not declare forbidden anything outside of the Quran. Listen, I swear by Allah." Listen. I swear by Allah, this is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that Irbad narrates. "I have also enjoined and advised and forbade many things. They are of the same importance as Quran, but in fact even more." Again, reclining against his cushion conveys the same idea as gluttonous in this hadith. These hadith are saying, the Prophet ﷺ's prophecy, that a time will come where you have wealthy people who have nice mansions and cushions and will be eating lots of different variety of foods. And after they are filled to their stomach, they will sit back and give their 2 cents on Islam. And part of that will be, the idea is that to use, it's nice to say I'm part of something. Everyone likes to be part of something. So religion will become just like an identity of sorts. It's nice, you're part of a bigger, Eid Day feels great, doesn't it? Big group of people together, alhamdulillah, feels nice. But in the process of that, these group of people are there for the identity purpose, the idea of I want to be part of a larger group. But when it comes to actual following what you're supposed to do, we don't want to do that. Instead, we want to continue to do whatever we have to do. So how do you go about doing that? You start playing around with the deen. And the deen is such that the protection of the deen is a sunnah. If you remove the sunnah, then the Quran can be played around.
Allah himself says that. يُضِلُّ بِي كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِي كَثِيرًا. Allah says there are many who get misled through the Quran and many who get guided from the Quran.
Yeah.
Allah says that. So there are many people, ex-Muslims and others, who will say, I left Islam because of a verse of the Quran. I have myself interacted with many of them. Why you left Islam, brother? Because this verse. Allah said that in the Quran, that the Quran itself may mislead people. And this verse right here that I just said, some people leave Islam because of this. Ajib, they become a manifestation of this very same verse that I just read from the third page of fourth page of Surah Al-Baqarah. So Allah says he's misled. Well, I'm one of those people who have been misled. According to you, of course, I don't regard myself as misled. I regard myself as, you know, enlightened. But your God says that, so this is what it is. Subhanallah. It's ajib. Like, the man is a manifestation of the verse. He still doesn't get it. So scary. And they are very intelligent, well-read, educated, coming from good homes. Say, I mean, nobody is safe. May Allah protect you and I and our iman. Allahumma ameen, till our last breath. So what is the guards of, around the Quran? What is it? It's a sunnah. You throw out the sunnah, every single deviant sect, I don't need to name names, but the most unorthodox outside of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you name it, including, of course, people who we all believe are not Muslim, the Mirza'is, Qadianis, if you ever are engaged with them or you saw online, 100%, what are they going to be quoting? Huh? What are they going to quote? Quran. I'm telling you, an average Mirza'i is much more capable of quoting Quran than majority of the masjid here. That's just how it is. They study and all you'll be shocked. Like, what? That's why we should all know our pay grade. Don't involve yourself in fights that you can't, you know, really take care of yourself in. Because in the process of that, you may end up losing your own deen. Don't involve ourselves in that. Learn the deen. If you get, as soon as you see a question, come and ask and say, oh, give me a book. I need a book. I need to learn about this. But don't get engaged in debates, because it really is dangerous. And I'll share with you, Maulana Shabir Sahib, my ustad, in Mishkat al-Masabi, in class, he shared a story. He said that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, one day, you know, when he claimed to be, you know, he went through his stages, claiming to be a Mahdi, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be a prophet, all sorts of stuff, eventually until he died. He went through these stages. One young scholar, very powerful story here. This my ustad told me this in class. He said one young scholar told his sheikh that there's a new fitteen. There's a new person causing a lot of problems. I would like to go sort him out. I want to go debate him. So his ustad said, no, you're not ready yet. You are not ready yet. He said, who said so? I'm ready. I'm number one in class. I memorize all the text. You know, really smart kid. Curiosity killed the cat. Intelligence kills a man at times. When you trust your intelligence, that I know better than my mom and dad, I know better than my teachers because I have gotten better marks, better grades. Got it? This is very khatarnak, dangerous. So he told his student, do not go. He said, I got it. What are you going to do? He went. He went into that debate. Remember, you're speaking to somebody who says he's a Messiah. He says Mahdi. He's a prophet. I mean, anyone sitting here is like, come on, man. Come on, are you serious? You can't be a prophet. You expect me to believe you? I'll knock you out, right? This scholar goes to debate him. What happened? He lost the debate. It's possible you can lose a debate. Okay, if you lose a debate to a Qadian, you're atheist, what are you going to say? I'm no longer Muslim? I hope not. But that's what he said. He said, I lost the debate, and that's it. I'm going to become Mirza'i. I believe you to be the prophet. And subhanAllah, he became his right, because he was so intelligent. So scary. Honestly, I get goosebumps saying this story, because look at this. He became the right-hand man of Mirza Ghulam. And he because Mirza was not very well spoken or well written. If you even hear the representatives of today, it's when they give their khutbahs, I don't know who stays awake. It's just so tough to nuhusat, filled with nuhusat. Allah mafkare. I'm not gonna be ashamed of saying that. It is the najasa of someone who claims to be a prophet. I can't believe it. How much shaitaniya is there? You know, we are not inciting any ill feelings or violence here. I'm just telling you the reality of someone who says, if someone says, I'm not a Muslim and this is my belief, go ahead. But the problem is, don't be an imposter. This is the issue. This is the main issue. Someone says, I'm Yahudi, I'm Jewish, I'm Christian, I'm Buddhist, I'm fulan, I'm an ex-Muslim, whatever they are. But someone says, no, I'm a Muslim. And this is our prophet. That's the problem. What is upsetting is that you want to come to our house and change it all up. So he became a right-hand man, and he became a prolific writer who defended him throughout his entire life, better than Mirza could do himself. He wrote, he penned his books, dedicated his life to Mirza, and after Mirza died, he continued until his death. So our Ustad would say that, listen, pure knowledge gets you nowhere if it is not coupled with tazkiyah, if it's not coupled with spirituality. And that spirituality, it has to come through what? With someone else. You need to have that spiritual doctor, a mentor. This statement I tell my beloved students every single day. That by, I'm sitting in front of you with my elder's head, my mom and dad and my shuyukh, you know, subhanAllah, their hand on my head. May Allah subhanAllah always keep it like that. Allahumma ameen. You cannot think that you've, just because you are mashallah in 50th or 60th or 70th year or in takhassus or something, you've made it. It never, the day you think you've made it and you don't need your teachers, you don't need your parents, is the day of your downfall. And I'm sharing this with all of you and maybe non-students too, is please teach your kids. And if you're a student, understand this yourself. That stop thinking you know it all. This destroys us. This is what makes us exactly Iblisi. Because this is exactly what Iblisi mindset is. Iblisi mindset is, I know it all. And when a scholar or a student of knowledge or anybody else for that matter says he knows it all, then he becomes another awan and a helper of Iblis. Another incident Maulana Shabir Sahib told us was one day, this same individual, years ago, he had gone to Medina with his ustad, to Medina. And he went to visit a sheikh in Medina, whether he resided there or was visiting there, student and teacher, visiting a great scholar of tazkiyah. Great scholar. So when the student walked away and the teacher, that sheikh said, Patani kyun mujhe yahan se irtidad ki bu aa rahi hai. He says, I don't know why I smell apostasy here. I have a stench of apostasy. What is this called? This is called firasa. This is called when Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a great intuition into things. Who has this intuition? The people who have the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. Ittaqu firasat al-mu'mini fa innahu yanzuru bi nurillah. Protect yourself. Utilize and be wary of the foresight of a believer, because indeed he looks with the nur of Allah. Another individual, I'll give you quick three, one more story. My ustad, another ustad of mine, Mufti Allah Haq Damad Barakatuh, shared a story of an individual. He was an academic, or he was a college student. He went out in 4 months in Jamaat. After that, he changed his life. He said, I want to go study ilm, which is a very common thing. People go on the path of Allah for 3 days, 40 days, and they want to become a scholar. Always like that. MashaAllah. Many people, they change their lives through this. Many of our scholars across the entire United States are like that. Their roots are in this. They went for 3 days. Life changed. You would never imagine that. I've asked them point blank. Point blank, did you? I heard you went in Khuruj. Yeah, of course. I went 40 days. I was rolling. SubhanAllah. No one would ever imagine that today, but that's how it is. Their history is in the effort of da'wah and tabligh. Especially majority of the revert scholars. Or a big chunk of them, at least I can say. Well-known ones. So he went to Nizamuddin and met Hazrat Maulana Inam al-Hasan, rahimahumullah. And after he finished his 4 months, he said, I would like to go become a scholar. I want to go to madrasa. So Maulana Inam al-Hasan, rahimahumullah, told him, you know what, you don't need to go to madrasa. You go back to your university. Alhamdulillah, do the work of da'wah and tabligh. You'll stay on the sunnah. And you just do your university. He said, no. How could you be stopping me from becoming a scholar? Got it? So he ended up going to madrasa. This story Mufti Allah Al-Aqsab shared. He went to Karachi. He started studying there in Binnori town. And Mufti Allah Damat Barakatum says, I still remember he used to come to talk to me after Asr sometimes over tea or whatnot. And this young South African, subhanAllah, would ask a lot of questions. He was a first year student, but he would ask a lot of tough questions. And I said, I still remember this. We're talking about now the early 80s or the late 70s. And eventually he got disenfranchised from the madrasa in Karachi. And he became an English teacher in a Catholic school. After that, he went back after many years and went joined university, became an academic, and became what you call a reformist. Right? So now he's written books, lectured, and he's dedicated his life to reforming Islam. Hazrat Mufti Sahib says that 30 years ago, I still remember this discussion I had with this young man. My point in sharing these three stories with you is that there's some genuineness, there's something called firasa. And there's something really important, istikhara, that you and I will never understand. One is istikhara and one is mashura. When you take advice from people who are connected with Allah, Allah will guide them to give you such advice that's worth millions. Do not undermine this. No matter how set you are in your ways, I have to get married to this person. This is the biggest issue. People come to me all the time. You know, bless me. I don't, honestly, what am I supposed to do? This makes no sense to me, but no one's asking. You're coming, giving me a date. You're giving me a, the what you call? The wedding card. So we don't say anything. It's too late now. But that's not the way to do things. If you really want the blessing of somebody, make mashura. Is this a good proposal or not? Is this a good something for a good daughter, you know, for my son, a good son for my daughter, etc., etc. This is, yani, and then you ask somebody else. But when a person says, mujhe samajh mein aa raha hai, I understand that. That's where the problem comes. When you say, mujhe samajh mein aa raha hai, I understand it. It destroys everything. So I mean, what I'm trying to say is big decisions and small decisions. Take the advice of whoever you regard as someone, you know, a senior or a teacher or whoever you're trying to get their du'as for. Before you get their du'as, first get their mashwara. That's basic thing. Not that everything is done and then you say you're asking for du'as. It's too late. So now what do we learn from here is the fact that many times something can become a source of guidance and the very same thing can become a source of misguidance. So this is where the Quran I was speaking about. That the Quran itself is a source of guidance. But when you remove sunnah from it and you start addressing, going into the Quran without the sunnah, every deviant sect will always quote Quran. And today some of the most well-known so-called, I don't know what to call them, any aql parast, mu'tazilites, new mu'tazilites, people who worship their own ego, their own intellect, and say everything's got to make sense over here. You have many of them, and they have a huge following. You will always see, and then you have the Middle Eastern monarchs and leaders who also understand this. That if we want to have control over what our deen looks like, sounds like, and we want to have just a stamp of Islam but do our own thing, what's the biggest obstacle in that? Sunnah, hadith. So attack the hadith, call it fabricated. I don't know if I should say this or not. Today, just this morning, I saw on someone's phone a picture of Medina. And this gives me, like, you know, goosebumps. I've never seen a picture like this. It's from high on top of a mountain. And it's a luxurious, beautiful atmosphere of a restaurant with beautiful lighting and unbelievable, like a five-star high-end restaurant at the top of a mountain. And what do you see down? Entire Medina. And they are now promoting it like crazy to come, take a road trip up to the mountain and enjoy your evening, your sunset at the top of a mountain looking over Medina. What, you guys heard of this? It's called Jabal Ayr. I was like, wait, Jabal Ayr? I remember this from my Medina trips and my trips in, you know, Ziyarah. But Jabal Ayr, I did a quick search. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Medina is from Jabal Ayr to Jabal Uhud. Jabal Uhud, Jabalun yuhibbuni wa ana uhibbuhu. Jabal Uhud loves me and I love it. Jabal Uhud is a mountain of Jannah. And Jabal Ayr is a mountain of Jahannam. There are so many narrations of Ayr being part of Jahannam. Now I did a search on it. It's so clear. What do I find online? All the first 20 websites, including Wikipedia, all saying this hadith is weak. Wikipedia is doing takhrij of hadith. Since when does Wikipedia post have takhrij of hadith? He says this, Albani said this, Fulan said this, there's one narrator, not Mawdu', no, this is finding some, you know, of course for every hadith, besides those, even Bukhari, man, subhanAllah, people try to attack that. You see what is going on over here? My friends, understand what I just said, that is crazy that you have an agenda, and in order to do that, you realize hadith is going to cause issues. So the hadith that says this is a part of Jahannam, just show it's, yani, it's not worthy of practice. Ula, same thing with Ula. You know, you heard about Ula? The place where Allah's wrath came. If you go on Wikipedia, it even says this as of like 6 months ago. I don't know what it says now. It says it's trying to be whitewashed. They're trying to whitewash it to remove the idea that this place is a place of adab. Because no tourist was going to come like this, Muslim tourist at least. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to understand things without making me say too many things. You get what I'm saying, brothers? Did you hear what I said? Say ameen to what I just said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our hearts to be able to communicate without using our tongue. Say ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the fikr and the concern and the things I see in my heart and my mind to be shared without my lips being moving. And for you to just get it. Because if you get it, you'll be able to save your kids, your future generations. And if you don't get it, it's over. The type of makr and plotting that is happening to destroy our deen and our future, near future, is very, very alarming. And so in order to be able to get to destruction of the deen, what do you have to remove? Sunnah. And it's not just hadith, the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is the statements and one is the full practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're seeing this today. All of these ideas, you're coming with new innovations happening right under our nose, every day within our community. By our own kids, by our own community members, sometimes our spouses. And anytime you say, bhai, isn't this wrong? Ye to sirf sunnat tha. That was just sunnat. It's not the big deal. And I'm not doing anything haram. It's just sunnah. That's how it starts. When you remove the sunnah rail guard, game over. Quran mein to koi ayat nahi hai. There's no verse in the Quran that says this is haram. XYZ, whatever it is. And that's how you go down this hole. So this is why, if you want to say, if someone says, brother, I want to connect with a scholar. I want to connect to a program. I want to connect to a speech. I want to listen to a podcast. I want to go to a halaqah. I want to do whatever. The key litmus test is, how, to what degree is sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ being established? From top to bottom. What degree of sunnah? That's it. I mean it. That's it. This is the only thing that's going to save us. During the era of Dajjal, the only thing that will save you is keep on asking this question. What's the sunnah? That's the only thing that can extinguish his evil, is sunnah. He can't stand up to sunnah. Why do we read this first 10 and last 10 ayats of Surah Al-Kahf? For what? Twice a day, after Dhuhr and after Dhuhr for the seminary students, after Isha and now in the masjid in Ramadan, after Asr. That's the only thing that's going to save us. That's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reading Surah Al-Kahf. Is it every single day? Not every single day. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned memorization of it. Most of the ummah, how many of our sons and daughters have memorized? How many of us sitting here have memorized the first 10? But if you don't memorize it, how is it going to work? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about memorization of the first 10 and last 10. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about recitation and memorization. That's the point. Read it. And inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, you will continue down this path of connecting with the teachings of this surah. My beloved friends, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. We are in really crazy times right now. This Ramadan is the craziest Ramadan I've ever seen of what's happening outside. And what will come in the next couple months is something, right? What will come in the next couple months is something I don't know. The biggest problem is our safety of our iman. Bas ye mangte raho. Ya Allah, grant me husnul khatima. Ya Allah, grant my kids husnul khatima. Ya Allah, grant my parents and my spouse husnul khatima. That's all. The most important thing is we cannot lose our iman. Every night, make this dua. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now, whoever revives any one of my sunnah which was abandoned after me will receive the reward of those who act upon it without any reduction in the reward. And whoever starts a new innovation, a new thing, which is disliked by Allah and His Prophet, will receive the sin of those who acted upon it without any reduction in their sin. So when you start, you know how today is an era of trending. What's trending online? Understand, if you start something that goes trending, if it's something haram, khilaf sunnah, against the deen, you're going to get the sin even in your grave for every single person that does after you. And that's why one post, one little thing that people make it into, you know, online and say, oh, I did something and post it. And that takes off. The ramifications of that we're not understanding. That subhanAllah, even if a man is dead, the sins are going to continue to gather in his book of deeds. On the flip side of it, if you start something beneficial, which is bringing back people to the sunnah, alhamdulillah, and you make it into a trend. We have a Ramadan checklist, trying to get people to start other amal. Everything on there is from sunnah, tasbih after salah, taraweeh, daily dua. What part of there is bid'ah in there? Sajda, mulk, dukhan, whatever, waqi'ah. Make it trending. All of you have your ability. Get some daily checklist, children's checklist. The method of how to do it, yeah, that's not the sunnah of having this graphic on it, but no one said that was sunnah. The idea is to get our families onto a'mal. Get our families in the month of Ramadan onto a'mal. That's something we have to make an effort to get it trending. Alhamdulillah, if that becomes trending, mashallah, you'll get the ajr of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, whoever revives my sunnah loves me. Man ahya sunnati faqad ahabbani. If you want to show your love for Rasulullah, revive one sunnah, two sunnah, whatever you can. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ And whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Yeah, I mean, what else could you possibly want? To be in paradise with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My beloved friends, it is just reviving the sunnah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever acts upon my sunnah when my ummah is corrupted will receive the reward of 100 martyrs. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if Musa alayhi salam was alive, he would follow me. Many of us might be saying, why do you talk about the evils of the ummah? Why do you talk about what's wrong? My beloved friends, it's like a father speaking to his son, an older brother speaking to his younger brother. By outside, there's messed up people. There's highway robbers. There's thieves in school. Watch out from the bully. Because the poor kid doesn't know. He just goes after anybody who gives him candy. Come, beta, ajo, give candy. He goes with him. He sits in his car and khalas. Game over. So you have to warn people, kids, hey, don't just get enticed by someone offering you candy. That's why I'm telling you this. Don't get enticed by the latest post that's most attractive. Today, the criterion, I've heard someone say this, that you know what, subhanAllah, you got to listen to a talk that, you know, just makes sense to you. That, subhanAllah, makes you enjoy it. Doesn't make you feel bad. Doesn't make you always feel remorseful. Doesn't emotionally blackmail you. Makes you feel good about life. This is the criteria of what a good talk is. SubhanAllah. What is the point of realization? My flaws, my mistakes, I gotta make tawbah. If we don't make tawbah now, then when? All of us should be crying. All of us should be crying. Even when going down, upstairs, all of us should be lost in thought about our own sins and our diseased heart. If not now, then when? There is an effort to say that, subhanAllah, sunnah. Don't pray 20, pray 8. Then not even pray 8. Bye, it's not that important, sunnah. Didn't Mawlana Sahib, who came here a few weeks ago, talked about it, that a person said, I've written a whole book to prove there's no such thing as taraweeh. And he told him, okay, hold on, what are you trying to achieve by this? There is one of my friends, he attended a khatira, of a very well-known speaker somewhere. He is in a masjid. He said, the entire half an hour khatira, or 20 minutes, whatever it was, on what topic? On a topic of how some of the major sins, some of the sins that have been classified as major sins for the past 11 centuries, 8 centuries, 12 centuries, are actually from further study make us realize it's not a major sin. Like, why are you telling this to the people? That brother, subhanAllah, he's not a scholar, he's not a student of knowledge, he's a professional young. He walked out of the talk. He said, man, I know things are clearly haram and I have a hard time staying away from it. You are trying to prove to me that there are certain things that my whole childhood I've been told has been haram, and I, alhamdulillah, staying away from it. But you're coming on the mic and speaking about the fact that, hey, brother, you can do it. Why would you say stuff like that? The goal for us is to push towards sunnah and stay away from haram, makruh, khilaf sunnah, anything and everything that's even doubtful. So my beloved brothers, my dear sisters, my dear listeners, I want us to all to be please aware that there's a lot of talks, lectures, reels, you name it, that are actually poison for our heart. Anytime you hear something reflected on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, does this speech make me want to follow the Prophet ﷺ closer or not? Yadrako. Don't ask me why. People say about the dhari. I say, my ustad say, bhai, wajib hai, sunnat, muakkada, farz, sunn, mustahab. Let's leave all that. How did the Prophet look like? Finish. When you speak, then let's not get into this fiqh discussion. How did the Prophet spend his nights? Forget 8 rakat, 20 rakat, 15. How, what did Nabi do? How did he spend it? Was it in marketplaces? Was it in, you know, other places? Or what? Or was it literally tiring himself in ibadah? So any lecture that you attend and listen to, constantly tell ourselves, is this pushing me closer to the Prophet's life, or is it pulling me away from it? That's it. That's your gold standard. I truly hope I'm making sense to you all. There is just so much happening right now. It's so scary that the majority of people are falling for it. They're attracted to the sweetness, the charisma, the humming sound in the background, the lights and the action and the camera and all the other good stuff or bad stuff, whatever you want to call it, that a person becomes hypnotized and says, wow, this is very amazing. Welcome to the Dajjal era, where a lot of the incorrect things are going to be pushed down in manners that you won't realize. That's why always you're not going to be sitting with your teachers. You're not going to always have a scholar. Always just say, what I just heard right now, whatever talk I just attended, does it make me want to follow the Prophet ﷺ more or less? That's your answer. If it doesn't create within you this fervor that I'm going to go against the grain and follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, please distance yourself from there. Because what you're getting is actually more harm than benefit. One Mufti Sahab, he said something beautiful. He said, بے دینی بد دینی سے بہتر ہے. بے دینی بد دینی سے بہتر ہے. Lack of deen is far better than having incorrect deen. It'd rather be a person, literally, he is doing open haram, and he knows it. And he says, brother, I'm not righteous, I'm not pious, I hope one day I'll make tawbah. He's in a better off state than someone who thinks he's following the deen, but he's following a wrong deen. And he's trying to convert people to this new reformed type of deen. This is where the danger is today. There, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, du'at ala abwabi jahannam. You'll find that at the end of times, they will, du'at is a plural of da'i. Da'i kamane? Inviter. Du'at ala abwabi jahannam. There are going to be da'is on the doors of jahannam. Hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even the da'i, he doesn't know what's happening to him. He himself is duped. He doesn't realize what he's doing. But he's actually unintentionally calling people towards hellfire. Asking them to change this, change that, leave this. That's okay. And at the end, there's nothing left. So the purpose of any of my talk is never to incite hatred against anybody, never to incite anger towards anybody, but rather to be a wake-up call for the oppressor and the oppressed, to be a wake-up call for the deceived and the deceiver, and begging and hoping that you and I do not fall into the category of a deceiver, nor into a deceived one. May Allah grant us istiqamah on iman and yaqeen. May Allah grant you and I an immense, immense attachment to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah allow our beloved children, our spouses, and our generations to be, committed to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the yardstick of everything. Any event, any issue, any talk, always say, yardstick is sunnah. What would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say if he was here? Have you all heard me say this? You must have heard me say this. It's been saying for years. I said, whenever you want to think of something, you think about an event you're going to, you're invited, you think of your own living room, family room. Just imagine, will I be able to invite the Prophet ﷺ here for lunch or dinner or not? Just ask yourself, will I be able to invite the Prophet ﷺ to my home or to this event? And I actually heard somebody with my own ears saying, you know what, today scholars, they blackmail people by saying, emotionally blackmail people by saying, imagine if the Prophet ﷺ were to be here, what would you do? I said, astaghfirullah. Honestly, I've been saying this for years, for like maybe 15 years. This is one of my statements. I say, anytime you're in doubt, imagine if the Prophet ﷺ was here, what would you do? But this is now being labeled as emotional blackmail. Why are you making people think too much? They should not feel guilty. So this is very scary times. That's why I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect yourself from any and all people who may end up misleading you and I, right? It's not over until the soul comes out of our body with iman. Inshallah, let's join us in dua. Now we have 6 minutes, 7 minutes. If everyone can proceed downstairs quickly, inshallah, let's not talk, let's not chatter. We're doing dhikr, dua. Let's proceed downstairs quietly, and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now.